You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Now, the New York Mets cannot get into any rhythm of a season because after COVID postponed the start of the year, rain has washed away the last two games. 2 days in a row with postponed games. The Mets will play a doubleheader today. So what I want to do on the show is talk about that in the first segment. It's going to mix up the Mets pitching staff, which will lead to ramifications later on in the week. So I'll dive through all that information. Then in the final two segments, I was joined by Rob Pearsall, one of my buddies from Metsmerize. He's got a really interesting project I wanted to turn your attention to, so you can learn a lot more about that later on in this show. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsmerizeOnline.com. So the Mets were going to play this game on Monday, and rain was in the forecast all day. Obviously, it would seem far-fetched that this game was ever going to get played, and that's exactly what happens. It gets postponed. We should get sunny, clear skies on Tuesday that will allow for a doubleheader, and the Mets decided that Taijuan Walker and Marcus Stroman would get the two starts. Stroman threw a side today on Monday, said he was good to go for Tuesday. And that means the Mets have a pretty big edge in this doubleheader. Now, they'll face Aaron Nola in Game 2, but for Game 1, it'll be Chase Anderson. And this is one of those seven-inning doubleheaders. And when you get that with these two pitchers in particular, Walker and Stroman, you might have visions of not even needing the bullpen. I mean, if everything breaks right, that can happen for the Mets. These guys have an opportunity to go out and pitch complete games if their stuff is on, if they are holding that Phillies lineup at bay. And it's really important the Mets capitalize on this opportunity to play a seven-inning doubleheader in their ballpark. And what that means is you have to jump out early. That's one of the things we saw last season with the seven-inning doubleheader. The team that scores first generally is going to win. There is not as much time to get back into a game. You can get a stranglehold on a lead, and if you have a starting pitcher going well, that's all it really takes to win. And the Mets did not play well in those doubleheaders last year, so there is probably some apprehension as a Mets fan thinking about what's today going to bring, because we saw at times last year, these were just terrible situations where the Mets could lose two games in one day, and you look up at the standings at the end of the season, and these doubleheaders can absolutely cost you. So for the Mets, it's really important that they jump out on the Phillies, that they take at least one of these two games, and hopefully both of them, because you look at the rest of this series, it's going to be David Peterson going against Zach Wheeler. You would think that the Phillies would have an edge in Game 3. And then Thursday, it'll be Jacob deGrom versus Zach Eflin. But apparently there's rain in the forecast on Thursday as well. So who knows if that game gets played. Now, if that game gets postponed, the Mets might actually be in a better situation, because assuming there is no more postponements, they're going to go to Coors Field for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series with really only one clear answer for what they're going to do as far as their starting pitcher. Stroman or Walker could pitch on full rest on Sunday. Other than that, you don't know who would get those starts on Friday or Saturday. You would assume Joe Lucchese would get one of those opportunities. But we're also in a situation where you don't want his arm to get cold, and he might be called upon to pitch out of the bullpen in one of these upcoming games, which would even scramble this pitching staff further. The one thing I will say is that at times, I think it's very easy to get into that mindset of starter reliever and trying to figure out, you know, what roles these guys can pitch in. But I think the way baseball is evolving is we're seeing teams like the Dodgers and the Braves and some others who have really kind of removed those stigmas of where a guy can pitch. And you can have starters in your bullpen that can give you multiple innings. And so all of this could potentially open the door for someone like Jordan Yamamoto to end up on this team as someone who could give the Mets a little bit more length out of that bullpen. Otherwise, it's going to be tough to see how they really get through that next series with all of the starters going right now. But, you know, I could see a scenario where the Mets decide to call up Jordan Yamamoto and they just keep him up. You know, they just decide that you could use the length to get through the season and try to figure things out. But if they believe that they're going to get back to a traditional five-man rotation and their bullpen's going to hold up and they're not going to need length out of their bullpen, the Mets could go with a bullpen game in one of those against the Rockies over the weekend, in which case you're hoping you can get five innings out of, you know, Robert Gazelman, Jacob Barnes, Trevor Hildenberger, and then turn it over to those late-inning relievers you have. That series is going to be fascinating to me. The Mets are really going to be playing behind the eight ball, I think, when they're playing the Rockies. So it's important right now, while their pitching is still fresh, to stack up some wins in this first series of the week. Because if they don't, and they end up going to Coors Field, where games can get away from you with a tired pitching staff already, I mean, they're going to be in a world of hurt. So there's a lot of decisions that are going to have to get made over this coming week. It's going to be a really pivotal one for the Mets. It's too early to say it's going to make or break your season. I'm not trying to go that outlandish with this, but it's important to get things going on the right track to not start the season in a big hole. And today, to me, really feels like the perfect opportunity to have a big momentum shift and turn things around. Having Walker on the mound game one, having Stroman on the mound for game two, the Mets should be able to go out and sweep this doubleheader and really kind of feel good about themselves heading into what's going to be a very difficult week after that. So it's going to be a very important set of games tonight. Looking forward to watching both. Now, in just a minute, going to play my conversation with Rob Pearsall as we talk about his Real Mets Legends account on Twitter and all the side projects they are doing with that. But if you're going to repair and maintain your cars, you're probably trying to save money if you're doing that yourself. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you can use rockauto.com, a family business that has been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers where they have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. So go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Mets fans, happy to once again be joined by Rob Pearsall, becoming a frequent guest on the podcast from Mets Merize. Thanks for joining me once again.
Thanks for having me once again, man. It's always a pleasure.
And we're going to talk today about the Real Mets Legends, what you're doing over there, which is an awesome follow on Twitter. First off, where do people find that on Twitter?
You can find us on Twitter at Mets Legends. You're looking to think about some guys you haven't thought about a lot in the past, like Colin Cowgill and Andrew Brown and Kaz Matsui. We're your go-to spot for that.
I wanted to ask you kind of the genesis of this, although I can kind of figure it out. It seems like Mets fans really like to go back into the past, and it's not always just to celebrate the greats that have come through the franchise is to celebrate. Mm-hmm. You, who was the last one you did? You had on your podcast, you're talking about Millage. I mean, this is definitely something that Mets fans like to go back in the past and remember the guys that no one should remember, honestly.
Yeah, well, I think that in our lifetimes at the very least, the Mets haven't been consistently good. And I think that they've been mired in a lot of interesting, to say the least, scenarios under the previous ownership. A lot of laughable moments, laughable players. And instead of kind of harping on that, I think it's kind of interesting to go back and relive those guys, because I think they really are forgettable and Mets fans do block them out of their memory. But you see some of these guys' names, you know, like Nick Evans and Zach Lutz and whoever it is. And you're like, damn, like, I totally forgot about that guy. He, you know, and some of these guys played a lot of games for the team too, but the teams were just so bad collectively that you're just like, I don't even want to remember the 2011 match or the 2004 match. So that was kind of like the idea behind it.
Now, whenever you do a Jeff Duncan podcast, if you ever bring him up, please invite me on, because I remember thinking Jeff Duncan was going to be better. I think he got promoted at the same time as Reyes. And he had a great first three games. And I thought that he was center fielder of the future. And I think he was off the team in like a month.
Yeah. I remember Jeff Duncan. I was over at my friend's house in elementary school and he had a Jeff Duncan rookie card. And I somehow finagled it off of him. And he was like, if Jeff Duncan becomes a Hall of Famer, you have to give that card back to me. And I was like, all right, deal. And so needless to say, I probably didn't take care of that card well because I was a menace when I was a kid. But B, Jeff Duncan certainly did not even make it to the Mets Hall of Fame, let alone the National Hall of Fame.
Yeah, very far away. Probably the opposite of a Hall of Famer for Jeff Duncan. But
that's a Mets legend.
Agreed. Talk a bit about your podcast. What are you guys doing over there with that?
Yeah, sure. So the podcast is a newer addition to the Mets Legends kind of lifestyle, if you will. You know, I'll give you a little backstory on Mets Legends. So I actually had an account on Twitter probably like a year or two ago, and it was just called Random Mets Players. I kind of just started it because I always really enjoyed talking about those forgotten guys. And you'd see here and there people talking about random Mets players on Twitter, but there was no like central location for it. So I just decided to make the page and I got a few thousand followers. And then for whatever reason, I just lost like the time to like maintain it. And I felt like I wasn't really putting the effort in. And I ended up deactivating the account. And then I realized it was something I missed. So I probably about 6 months ago, I made Mets Legends. I wanted to make it something with a little bit more of a grabby title than just random Mets players, which doesn't really flow off the tongue. And, you know, as a joke, you do see these guys talking about are being talked about as team legends, like Adany Echevarria, like Mets legend Adany Echevarria. So, you know, I felt like that was a little bit more grabby, and I think it's kind of tongue in cheek. Like it's a little funny too, that it's just like, they're not Mets legends. Right. And you do see people on the account, on like the Twitter account, like tweeting at us being like, how is, you know, Wally Whitehurst a Mets legend? Like, you know, whatever it is. So it's kind of funny. Like, and I always like kind of tease these people in the back, like, of course they're a Mets legend. What are you talking about? So I wanted to kind of advance our content beyond just Twitter. And the podcast was really like a first step in that process, beyond just like, you know, posting pictures or small clips or whatever it is of these guys. I felt like there was a lot more room to talk about or highlight these moments that might fall by the wayside. So, we made an accompanying Twitter account. It's Mets Legends Cast, all one word. We published our second episode on Thursday, and we're going to be probably releasing them every Thursday. We're going to be recording in the next day or two for episode three, which should be a good one. But yeah, I mean, so we talked about Lasting's Millage on our last podcast. He's for me like the quintessential Mets legend. Like, and he's a guy that I really love getting behind too, because he does a lot of awesome stuff as well, like behind the scenes. Like he runs a baseball academy. He's done a lot of efforts to try to bolster like African American participation in baseball. He used to go to like youth basketball and football games and talk to kids about playing baseball too. So Millage was an awesome guy. And I, we talked about me and my co-host, Mike Rosen, who's a buddy of mine from college and a big Mets fan as well. He runs the account with me, but we talked about how Millage was kind of ahead of his time and how back in 2006, when he hit that home run against the Giants in extra innings and, you know, gave high fives to the fans, it was like this completely taboo thing. And even still it might be, but I feel like there's this kind of push with the younger generation of fans now where it's not such a big deal, but the old guard kind of still has that pushback a little bit. But I feel like if Millage was around today, he'd probably be embraced a little bit more than he was in 2006.
Yeah, Millage is a guy that I went to a lot of, you know, living in South Florida, went to a lot of spring training games. I probably have like 15 signed autographs from last night's Millage. I mean, he was always that guy that would come up and sign autographs before the games, after the games. And my dad would always tell me, like, this is the top prospect. This is the guy. Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing you got his autograph. And unfortunately, yeah, it didn't quite pan out. But I do have plenty of Millage memorabilia. So maybe I can send you something.
That'd be great, man. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think
I'll have to dig through. It's definitely not authenticated by any stretch, but
hey, I'll take your word for it, man. I totally believe you being a Floridian yourself, but that would be great. Millage, I think what makes him so interesting is just like, apart from just like being a former top prospect and failing or whatever, it's like he is kind of just like the epitome of like the Mets from back then, right? Like they didn't draft particularly well. Like they had a lot of like those guys come up, like, you know, in like a, you know, 7 or 8 year span, you had Alex Escobar, Fernando Martinez, Lastings Millage, these guys that just, we had such high hopes for, and they just didn't pan out. So he's a guy that I really feel like fits like the Mets legends bill for sure.
Yeah. I think I could be wrong, but during the COVID year where there was no sports and I was kind of going by the seat of my pants, making up content for the show today, I think I did do a podcast on what ifs. And I think Millage might've been one of my what if podcasts. So I'd have to look back, but definitely a great concept you got going over there with Mets legends. We'll have more of my conversation with Rob Pearsall in just a minute, but I wanted to tell you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on this first week. The Mets offense has not been doing well, but I feel like this is such a weird season where they just haven't got a chance to get into a rhythm. Do you think that's what's going on right now?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that postponed series with the Nationals really was something that knocked the wind out of their sails, especially when you had this time for a few days where the clock was kind of running out on getting an extension done with Francisco Lindor. I was pretty optimistic it was going to happen just because I'm an insane Mets fan and I believe beyond all logic that things are going to happen. There was a lot of people that didn't think that he was going to extend. And I think it would have really put a damper on the season if he didn't. So I always thought it was going to get done. It did get done right before opening day. And I think that that was like the most excited Mets fans had been probably since, I don't know, like maybe since the team went to the World Series in 2015. Like it was just like this collective euphoria on Twitter of, Stephen Cohen is the owner now and the Mets aren't playing around. This is a sign that we're going to be competitive going forward. Lindor is the first, you know, the first big domino to fall in that process. I think that you kind of had this adrenaline going into opening day and then the game gets canceled. You have an off day the next day. And then once that first game got canceled, it was like, it seemed very, very up in the air that that whole series was going to get played anyway, and it didn't. So I think that that really knocked the wind out of their sails. And then you had the rain out yesterday. You have some more rain in the forecast today. So it's just like the Mets haven't had a chance to have any consistency in regards to the season starting. And it's really hard to, I mean, they've only played five games where other teams have doubled that and have played 10 so far. So there's really been no opportunity for them to really gain any momentum so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're going into the what ended up being the opening day for the Mets. And I just remember thinking, like, this just can't feel like an opening day because the Phillies are playing game four. It wasn't even their home opener. And so you didn't get, you know, the calling of the lineups and the planes flying over and all the opening day stuff. And I do agree, if that had all happened on the heels of a Lindor extension, I think that the fan base would have been, it would have kept that euphoria for a little bit longer and maybe also would have been a little more patient. Who knows?
Yep.
Probably not.
Probably not with the way Mets Twitter is. But
the more I talk it out, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Actually, no, no. As soon as Conforto goes 1-for-10, they're going to be booing him.
Yeah, that's true.
But looking at this team, and we'll kind of close on this question, because it's just something I thought about on the podcast I had that went up today. You know, I was looking at what the Mets have done offensively this season, and the more I look at this bench, even though I really liked it, I didn't like the individual signings of VR, Pilar, Amor. Those I didn't love.
No.
But collectively, going into the season, I thought, well, if you look at the other benches in this division, the Mets have a major league caliber bench. Now I'm looking at it again, and I think Pilar and Amor have very similar skill sets. And there just isn't a bat off the bench that you fear. Is that something the Mets are going to have to address? Are they going to have to go out and make a trade to bring in one more bat? Because I feel like they might be a little bit short.
I think you're right. The signings they made this offseason felt very reminiscent of what Brody Van Wagenen was doing the last couple of years, where you're bringing in these established veterans, but guys that aren't particularly like complete players. Like, yeah, like you do have Jonathan VR, who can play a couple different positions, albeit not well. You have Kevin Pillar, who does give you a little bit more speed off the base paths and, you know, and can play a decent center field, maybe a little bit less good than he did when he was in his prime. He's not really in his prime anymore. But it's just like you look at it and there's instead of signing Almora and Pilar, they could have easily just given that money to Jackie Bradley, and you would have had someone who's a good hitter and would have given you a pretty strong outfield. You know, even if you have Nimmo, Smith, Conforto, and Bradley out there, you can shuffle those guys around, and you're going to have a good outfield, 162 out of 162. But yeah, I mean, I think that you look at in 2015, what they did, right? Like they brought in Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson, who weren't guys that were the quality that you did get out of Cespedes later on. You didn't get that. You didn't get this star like you did with Cespedes a week or two later, but you did round out your bench. I'm sorry. You did bring in two guys that are strong veterans. They have some pop off the bat. Johnson was versatile. Uribe gave them some reinforcements in the infield, and it really lengthened this bench that was bad. You had John Mayberry, Eric Campbell, Danny Muno. Like those were the guys that you were seeing early on that season. So, you know, the Mets, I don't think that it's going to be something where they're just going to stay put. I think that there is still a lot of high expectations for the season. And we do have to remember it's only five games in, you know, so many different things can happen. No one's running away with this division. So I think the Mets will add, but yeah, at the end of the day, Pilar, VR, Almora, Guillorme, Nito, like it's not the most potent of benches. So it would be nice to kind of have a bopper to come off the bench late in the game and kind of make that difference. And right now you don't really have any guy that can hit for a ton of power. So I do think that that's something they're going to need to address. And that as well as the bullpen are things that they're going to have to keep an eye on as the season progresses.
I'm going to be rooting for the San Francisco Giants to lose a lot of games because there's a really clutch hitter over there that maybe qualifies. Maybe he's a little bit too good to be considered a real Mets legend, because he actually is in some cases a Mets legend. Let's bring back Flo. Give me some Wilmer Flores off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would certainly make Mets fans happy. I think it would make Wilmer happy. I think the guy, if he had a chance, would want to play here for his whole career. So, and Flores, since he's left the Mets, has been a really serviceable MLB player, you know, between Arizona, between San Francisco, and he's a guy that's already endeared himself to the fan base. You know, he can perform in New York, and yeah, man, I mean, just even if it's for nostalgia purposes, I'm not going to ever say no to a Wilmer Flores reunion.
I think I'm going to start campaigning for that one. All right. So, let everyone know where they can find your work for Metsmerizing with the Real Mets Legends.
Sure. Yeah. So Metsmerized Rob Pearsall. You guys can follow me on Twitter at RT Pearsall, PIERSALL, as well as Mets Legends. Our account again is just at Mets Legends. And to listen to our podcast, at Mets Legends Cast. We publish weekly for the podcast, and we have some daily content on our Twitter account with a blog incoming. I'm setting it up as we speak. So some more long form stuff there. And you love obscure Mets players and moments, then we'll certainly have the content for you.
Awesome. Looking forward to checking all of it out.
Yeah, man. Definitely join me sometime.
That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And there we are running another giveaway. This time it is a signed photo of Daryl Strawberry. So make sure you check that out as well. And if you're into fantasy baseball, you now have a new resource that gives you an advantage in your leagues. And that's the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast, a daily show hosted by veteran analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.